One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
The 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. He starts off by saying, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, Jesus Christ, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, in the 10th chapter, that's chapter 1 and verse 1, and he said, God spoke to the people back in the olden days through angels and through prophets, but now then, he speaks to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And of course, when Jesus comes into our heart, it's so easy to hear him speak. The better you know somebody, the better you can communicate with them. If you know mother and daddy real good, if you know the preacher real good, the better we know one another, the better we can talk. Somebody said, I can't talk his language. Fact is, we were driving down the road in a truck, and we were pulling a Jeep, and there was a truck meeting us, and it had barrels, great big empty barrels. And what do you think we saw coming at us except two big barrels coming right, out of the truck, coming right down the road, and looked like going to run right in. Then we had the Jeep behind. We couldn't swerve real quick, you see. And you talk about getting excited. I mean, it happened just like that, you know. And one of the big barrels, just the fender hit it, you know, and we missed the other one. And I thought, well, now this is going to be a test of old, you know. I just wonder what he's going to do about it. And so jumped out and looked at his front fender, and there's a bent knocked into it, and he looked, and he looked back at the pickup, and he stood there, and he waved at him. In other words, come down here. Let's talk this thing over. And the first thing did, he walked up to him and shook hands with him. I mean, that is getting off to a good start. And I was kind of watching it. I didn't know, you know, how hot. I knew that if the conversation got real hot, I could tell it, though I wouldn't know exactly what they were saying. But, I mean, they shook hands with each other, and directly they began to smile and laugh, and we got in the pickup, and on down the road we went, you know. But the better I know people, the better I can talk with them, see? But, you know, there's a communication that goes deeper than words. And when I pulled out a big chief knife, you know, and I gave it to the first day I was down there, see, and I could tell Alvaro, he looked at that knife. And anybody that lives on the farm or the ranch, they like a knife. You know that? I mean, there's just so many things you can do with a knife. And I took him some fruit, and I took him this, and a box of peppermint candy, and things like that to share. But this, the next time I went back, Alvaro, he was right there. Brother, when I landed the plane on the strip, he come walking up there and out with a hand. Buenos dias, senor. I said, como está? Oh, muy bien. And boy, we had a time. I mean, that's about the length of it. I mean, that's about all. I mean, when we said that, our conversation was over for the day. But we had a communication. We developed another system. We really did. At least I could say, I asked him, I said, ¿Quiere dulce? And of course I had a box of candy, and that's sweets. And he said, see. But we just a little splattering of the language that he talked. But there's another language that went deeper than that. It was the language of sharing. And when he saw that I was going to be kind to him, and I brought him gifts. And then when I pulled out that brand new big chief knife and I put it in his hand, I want you to know, you talk about we communicated that time. I mean, he understands. See, just about everybody understands the communication of giving. Did you know that? I mean, you just give enough, and first thing somebody will say, he must like me. I mean, something must be, I mean, there must be something good about a fellow that wants to give, or a girl that wants to give. And when you get to thinking about God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I tell you, that's real communication. Did you know that? I may not understand all the Bible languages, and I mean all the things that it says, but I know one thing, God loved me. And there's the universal language. I tell you another universal language, and it's the right kind of singing. Did you know that? Love speaks universal language. I mean, you love in all languages, and love is just the same in any language. It doesn't make any difference. And the gospel is the same in all languages, does the same. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continue to make the comers thereunto perfect. I don't want just to be in the shadow to you. I don't want to get just that close. I tell you, how would you like to have a great big mansion? Somebody said, listen, I've got a mansion for you. Oh, listen, it's three stories tall. It's got about 20 some odd, you know, bedrooms, and it's got three living rooms, and it's got all the modern furniture, and it's just got the finest, and said, now, it's yours. It's yours. Won't I just give it to you? You'd say, well, amen. That's wonderful. I believe, and suppose, he said, all right, now I'm going to tell you where it's located. It's located on Ocean Drive, right on Ocean Drive. And it's 6324 Ocean Drive, right there. And we've got a big boat dock, you know, that comes up under the house. And you just dock your boat right in the garage. The water's right down there. And all you do, just pull your boat in. And when your guests come, and y'all just fire it up and go right out in Corpus Christi Bay, and you can go on down to the land cut, and that's where, you know, the fishing's the best. And you can just think of all that. So I said, well, I better go out there and see about it and get it. And he said, well, here, wait a minute. Let me give you the deed and the title. Man, I want you to know it's yours. I mean, all you got to do. So I walked out there, maybe drove up, and I walked up to the house. And you know what I did? I just stood there in the shade. I mean, I was in the shadow of that big three-story beautiful home. I was right there in the shadow of it. So I stood there for maybe a day or two, just standing there. But I never did go in. No, sir. I never did go in. I came back home, and Ms. Olof said, where you been? I said, well, I've been out to our new home. Well, said, what looked like? I said, looked pretty good from the outside. I just stood in the shadow. She said, you mean, have you got a key? I said, oh, yeah, here's the keys right here, the keys to everything in the house. But I just wanted to stand in the shadow. And you want to go out and stand in the shadow with me? She said, go out and stand in the shade of the house. Well, she said, I'm not going out there. Will you go in with me? I said, oh, no, we mustn't go in. It's got too many carpets on the floor. And, I mean, it's too fine for us. We'll just go out, and every once in a while, when we want to go, we'll just go out there and stand up against it. We could even lean up against it. Or we might could take a little picnic table out there and put it in the shade and the shadow of it. We could even have a little picnic right out there on some beautiful sunshine day. Just think, we'd overlook the Gulf, I mean, in the water and the everything, and we just go. Now, she said, honey, are you sure that that man gave us? I said, look here, all you got to do, just look at all these papers. Here they are, signed over to L.L. Roloff and wife, Marie. Think about it. Of course it's ours. Well, she said, honey, I know you never did want to go to a psychiatrist, but do you think maybe you ought to go? Why? I stand in the shade instead of going in. Amen? Are you listening? Did you realize that God doesn't want you just to stand in the shadow of the old rugged cross? He wants you to move up into Jesus. Listen, did you know the old rugged cross will never do you any good until you receive Christ who died on it? It's not enough. Now, the law is the shadow, but you can't be saved by a shadow. And I tell you what, suppose my wife and I decided we'd move out there in the shadow, and suppose Celia came blowing through. Well, there'd be some rough shadows, wouldn't it? Why, we'd wind up in Corpus Christi Bay. We'd blow out across there. But we need to get on the inside. That's what I'm trying to say. We must come into Christ. Come into Christ and trust Him. And so he said the law can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continue to make the comers thereunto perfect. You know, God gave us three laws. I mentioned to you before. I'll go over them briefly. Did you know that God gave a ceremonial law? The ceremonial law was pointing to the coming of Christ. The man would go out and take a lamb or sheep, and he'd offer him, the blood would be shed, and that would atone for their sins, looking forward to the coming of Christ. Then the Lord gave us the moral law, and that means we're to live clean and pure. But you can't live like that without the Christ. Not just the ceremony, but the Christ. So we went from the ceremony to Christ. And then he gave us the dietary law. And that's the one the world's turned its back on. That's reading the world's the sick, too. People don't believe in eating what the Bible says eat, but the Bible's still plain. See, you can't, I mean, For me not to trust the Bible would be to discount the Word of God. And when God said something in the book of Leviticus, or in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God, I believe he meant exactly that. All right? For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance, again made of sins every year. They had to come every year. For it is not possible. Now that's strong words. Did you know that? It is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Sounds like Psalm 51, doesn't it? Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. You know, that never dawned on me what that meant till a few years ago. You know what that word says? That the whole volume of the book is written about Jesus. That's what it is. Did you know that this is a Jesus book? Did you know the Bible is concerned with only one person? And everything else points straight to him. All the Old Testament is just a bunch of index fingers, just a bunch of arrows pointing up the road to Calvary. Every one of them pointing to Calvary, pointing to Calvary. Every time you see a man step out like Moses, even though he wrote the law, God gave him the law, he's pointing to Calvary. When you see Elijah and Micah and Isaiah and Daniel and Ezekiel, all of them with their index finger pointing straight toward Jesus. You know, it looks to me like if everybody in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus, looked like the people after a while started looking to Jesus. And yet, blindness comes because of sin. He said, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Now then, let me remind you that only one out of the three laws have been abrogated or done away with. The moral law still stands, just like it always did. The dietary law still stands, just like it always did, in the mind of God. The ceremonial law doesn't, because Jesus fulfilled the ceremonial law. Now, if we had not had the ceremonial law fulfilled, we probably would be killing some of our sheep or goats, and we'd be offering a sacrifice. I'd be my responsibility to serve as an earthly priest, and I'd have to go after the proper cleansing. I'd go into the temple, and I'd take the blood and sprinkle it, and then the people would wait outside. They couldn't come in. But now then, you remember when Jesus was crucified on Calvary, that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom to the top, but from the top to the bottom. Right up here, started up here. You know that veil, they tell me, was maybe 4 inches thick, made out of beautiful, rich badger hides and skins and colorful. It's a tremendous veil, tremendous veil. Nobody ever went behind that veil except the priest. If a man went behind that veil, he was killed. He could not go behind that veil. The priest could never go until he'd gone to properly cleanse himself. He knew he was a sinner, and he knew that he had to be properly cleansed. And after the proper cleansing, he'd go behind the veil, and he'd stay there and offer the blood for all the people that waited on the outside. You know, we sang the song, when they ring the golden, those golden bells for you and me. But the priest would have golden bells on his garments. And when he made the sacrifice and offered it, that the people would be standing maybe by the thousands outside, wondering if the Lord was going to accept the sacrifice of the priest, and if their sins would be covered again for that year. And they'd stand there waiting in reverence. And when the priest had gone before the Lord and the blood had been shed and sprinkled, and God would answer him back, and he'd get a message from heaven and say, the sin is covered by faith and on credit. In other words, Jesus is coming. What you've done has represented Jesus Christ. And you know what he'd do? He'd reach down and he'd get those golden bells, and he'd start ringing those bells. And when he did that, the people would start shouting on the outside and praising God, and said, our sin is covered. Our sin is covered. Oh, everything we've done that's bad, We've come to confess, and the blood of even an animal has covered our sin until Jesus, God's perfect sacrifice, comes. I tell you, I imagine they were glad to hear the golden bells start ringing. And one of these days, you and I are going to hear the golden bells ring. But it'll be our invitation home. And what a wonderful blessing and joy. Well, he said, I come to do thy will. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Oh, there's some sweet messages in here. Did you know how many times Jesus died? Once. Did you know how many times you must accept him? Once. Do you know how many times you could be born again? Once. Do you know that once you're born again, you're his child? And Jesus died one time to save you. And that's all. You'll see it in this chapter. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Isn't it sad? And I say this lovingly. Isn't it sad that people would come to the priest, an earthly priest, and say, will you forgive my sins? And listen to the priest as he says, I now absolve thee from thy sin, knowing that that's impossible. Did you get that verse there? And every priest standeth daily, ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can what? Never take away sins. Now, if you want your sins never to be taken away, you go to the priest. Because that's what the Bible says. The Bible said he can never take away your sins. He also said Brother Olaf couldn't take away your sins too. And so I'd be in the same place. I'd say this reverently and tenderly. I can come as near forgiving sins as any priest or any preacher on the face of this earth. I didn't say anything when I said that. I can't forgive anybody of their sins, but God can. And I can recommend him, and I can bring you the good news of God's eternal salvation, but you'll have to accept him, and he's the one who can forgive sins, but God only. And so he said to the priest, he goes every day ministering, oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, yes, this man, after he'd offered one, how many? One sacrifice for sins. For how long? Forever. Sat down on the right hand of God. Dear friends, when Jesus walked into his Holy of Holies, he sat down, which is a sign that his work was finished. He gave himself once. He offered one sacrifice for sins forever, and that's all. Now, let me say this. The Lord's Supper will not take away sin. Baptism will not take away sin. Jesus died to take away sin. And don't you ever believe that water can cover your sin or that the Lord's Supper can forgive you of your sin. Neither one of those are sacrifices. Jesus was the sacrifice, and he died that you might live. And when you trust in him, he'll save you. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Jesus is building him a footstool. You know what he's building it out of? His enemies. What if you were an enemy to Jesus today? And everybody that's not saved is an enemy of God. The Bible said the carnal mind is enmity against God, not serve the law of God, neither indeed can be. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, they're spiritually discerned. And so, any man that's not saved, did you know that before I got saved, I was an enemy to God? I mean, I was an enemy to the Lord, and I was on the wrong side, and I fought against God. And, of course, nobody ever fights against God and wins, but I mean, he permits them to do it. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Reckon what Adolf Hitler thinks about Jesus today. He called him a sissy, you know, when he was living. Reckon what Alexander the Great. Reckon what Napoleon Bonaparte. Reckon what Kaiser Bill, Joe Stalin. Reckon what those men. You think about it. Life's all over now. Life's all over. And they stand before him. What will they think about Jesus? What think you of Christ? For by one offering, notice the word one and once. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. All right. Just one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. You know who the sanctified ones are? They're the people that are saved. You say, do you believe everybody ought to live a sanctified life? If they're saved, do you believe that that'll get them to heaven? No, but getting saved will get them to heaven, and that'll put some sanctification in them. That's right. Dear friends, you don't live holy in order to go to heaven. You don't live right in order to go to heaven. You live right because you're saved. You live a holy life because you've trusted the Holy One. People say, well, Brother Olaf, I really am trying to get ready for the rapture. Well, put your trust in Jesus. I want to be ready. Well, get ready now. I mean, Jesus has already provided your readiness. Jesus makes you ready. But, oh, so many people live in constant fear all the time. They'd say, I'm just afraid. I'm not ready. Let me tell you how much I want to be ready and how much I'm concerned about being ready. If I thought I was ready today and I wouldn't be ready tomorrow, boy, you talk about praying up a storm. I'd say, Lord, get me today. I mean, just don't let me ever see tomorrow, because if the devil's going to get me tomorrow, I want you to get me today. But dear friends, I don't have to worry like that. I don't have to wonder if Jesus is going to save me today and turn me loose tomorrow. I'm glad that he saves and he keeps. And see, that's salvation by grace. Not a matter of what Lester Olaf can do. Well, I've been accused of a lot of things, but I've been accused by a lot of people of doing good. A lot of people think that I'm just, you know, they just are sweet and kind, and the letters come and the people are always saying, Brother Olaf, I tell you, I just marvel at what you do for others and all that. I said that to say this. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for the best 5 minutes of my life to get me to heaven. And I know surely the Lord could pick out 5 minutes somewhere back down the trail that I did pretty good. Somewhere looked to me like he could catch me praying for 5 minutes and say, well, I believe he's poured out his heart, and I believe that's the best I've ever seen him, and surely that'll help. I wouldn't trust that to get me anywhere. I'm trying to tell you something this morning, that is, until you come to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll live lost and die lost and spend eternity away from God and away from hope and away from heaven. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I'll make with them, that after those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my laws into their hearts. Now we're getting somewhere. I'm going to put my laws in their hearts instead of the head. A lot of people have them in the head, but they don't have them in the hearts. And he said, I'm going to put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. I'm going to write them in their minds. I'm going to give them something to think about. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Isn't that a precious promise? You know the thing that's driving a lot of people to the psychiatrist? They're remembering what God has already forgotten. The guilt complex. All the money that's being spent today trying to blot out and shock out the past. And Jesus said, I'll remember them against you no more forever. Well, you talk about a shock treatment. That's it, isn't it?
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.